Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah Yud Dalet. We're on Yud Gimel and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We are now darshing the Megillah. We have been darshing the Megillah. We're going to continue doing so. And we're already up to the third parak of the Megillah, the 10th parak in total. And obviously, I'm assuming that everyone has a basic idea of what the storyline is in the Megillah. And so we're going now through the Megillah in the first and second parakim. So we spent a lot of time, the Gemara back on daf Yud Beis, discussed really mostly the first parak. Yesterday's daf Yud Gimel discussed mostly the second parak of the Megillah, and so right now we're into the third parak of the Megillah. Today, Gemara is going to go off on a number of tangents. So the truth of the matter is that we're not going to be really covering much of the third parak, but at least we're at the beginning of the third parak. So we know, just to quickly recap, in the end of the second parak. So after Achashverosh selects for himself a new wife, otherwise known as Hadassah, otherwise known as Esther. So what happens is that there's a assassination attempt on the life of Achashverosh. Two people, based on Viserish, they conspired to try to assassinate the king, poison the king. Was uncovered, discovered by Mordechai, who then lets Achashverosh know that that there was an assassination attempt. A quick investigation, they were discovered, they were killed, based on Viserish, and then now Achashverosh owes Mordechai a big one. That's going to come up later on in the Gemara. Yesterday's daf said that was the refuah, and when it comes to the Jewish people, so first comes the refuah, then comes the makkah. Okay, so that's what we saw in yesterday's daf, and then we move to the third parak of the Megillah, and the third parak of the Megillah, the introduction of Haman. So Achashverosh now takes Haman and Achar Dvemaila after these things. So and the Gemara yesterday said that means after the refuah now is in place. So now here comes the makkah. So Haman now is assuming position at the beginning of the third parak, and immediately has a strong hatred for the Jewish people, first for Mordechai, then for the Talmid Chachamim, then for the entire Jewish people, and decides, you know what, I'll just make a goral. And as a result of that, we'll find out what month, we'll go ahead and terminate, eliminate all the Jewish people. And that's what we saw yesterday in the Gemara. He was so excited when the lottery fell out on Adar. He's like, oh, that is good news for me, because Adar is a bad month for the Jewish people. Why? Because Moshe died in Adar. Okay, unbeknownst to him, Moshe not only died in Adar, he was also born in Adar as well. So again, we saw all this in yesterday's Gemara. The Aseres Kikar, Imal HaMelech Tov. Okay, so now, a negotiation between Haman and Mordechai, in terms of, okay, so let's now, let's collaborate on this plan to terminate the entire Jewish people. So, Imal HaMelech Tov Yikasev La'abdam V'Aseres Achashverosh said, huh? I said Mordechai. Okay, sorry. Okay, so we're going to be on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're about five lines from the bottom of the Amud.
Thank you.
Okay, Imal HaMelech Tov, thank you. Imal HaMelech Tov Yikasev La'abdam V'Aseres Alafim Kikar Kesef. So, a payoff. So Haman says to, I'm going to get all the names right. Haman says to Achashverosh, so good, so I'll give you a small payoff. So, Aseres Alafim Kikar Kesef. Okay. I'm venturing a guess. I don't know how to put that into modern monetary value, but I assume it's a good amount of money. So fine. So a payoff. So, Amar Ish Lakish Galuv Yadulaf Nemisha Amar Bahaya Olam Sha'asid Haman Lishkol Shkolam. So, Akash Baruch of course knows that this is going to happen, that there's going to be a payoff, and that Haman's going to pay Shkolam. So, Al Yisrael, and so what Kadosh Baruch Hu did is basically, so he gave us the antidote. So our shkalim are going to come before the shkalim of Haman. And the Mishnah shkalim, we actually saw this not so long ago in the daf. On the first day of Adar, so an announcement is made and that everyone's got to bring in his machitzis shekel. So the mitzvah of the machitzis shekel, which we discussed in almost the entire masechta dedicated to that topic, right, eight parakim of shkalim. So we went through it together. Remember back when we did shkalim, there is no bavli on shkalim. There's Yerushalmi, and then oddly enough, the Daf Yomi elected to learn the Yerushalmi. So we learned the Yerushalmi not so long ago on shkalim. But meanwhile, however, the mitzvah of shkalim begins when? On the first day of Adar. So v'hainid nenam bechad ba'adar mashmim ala shkalim. So v'ala klaim. And also, klaim as well. An announcement is made that if in the event that you're in your fields, you have klaim, so make sure to get rid of it. Okay, and the Mishnayos go on further to describe. But anyway, so in anticipation and as an antidote to the shkalim of Haman, so we have our own shkalim. Now, mind you, by the way, obviously this is Jerushin, and in terms of the specifics, you can get a little bit lost in the details. because obviously this event that we're describing right now with Haman and paying off Achashverosh, it's not occurring in Adar. It's occurring 11 months earlier in Nisan. Okay, so you could get a little bit lost in the details. So, and we're not going to get lost in the details, meaning we're just going to look at the big picture that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided an antidote for Haman, and we could just leave it like that. We will leave it like that. So the response of the king to Haman is that, look, as far as the money is concerned, you keep the money, and then you could do whatever you want. I'm Rabbi Abbas. We are now on the top of Yudal Amad Aleph. Mashal Achashverosh v'Haman l'mad avadomeh. So the Gemara says, let me give you a parable so that you better understand this relationship between Haman and Achashverosh and their mutual hatred of the Jewish people. So l'shnei b'nei Adam l'echad hayot lotel b'soch sadehu. So the two people, so one of them had a mound of earth on their field. L'echad hayalo charit b'soch sadehu, and another one had a pit in their field. So Baal Charitz Amar Mi'itein Li Tel Zeb Damim. And now what the one with the hole, so he wanted earth. He was ready to pay money for the earth. Baal HaTel, and as far as the person with the mound is concerned, so Amar Mi'itein Li Charitz Zeb Damim. He says, look, I'm ready to pay somebody to take this earth off my property. So Li Yamim Nizdav Gezeit Zal Zeb. Now a shidduch was made between the two of them. Amar Lo Baal Charitz, the Baal HaTel, Mechor Li Telcha. So Amalo tol osa bechinam, the halavai. So and then it happens to be that this was now a mutual beneficial relationship, where the owner of the mound said, "Look, I'm so happy that you're getting it off my property." The owner of the hole said, "Look, I'm so happy that I get this earth that I can fill in my hole and good." And the Marsha explains over here that that's basically Achashverosh and Haman. So in the nimshal. So Achashverosh has got this big mound. This mound is the Jewish people that I'd love to get rid of. And Haman says, well, good. So I have a hole in which, in other words, I'm ready to dispose of them. Okay. And that's the unfortunate mutual relationship that exists between Haman and Mordechai. Sorry, I did that again. Okay. I'll be more careful. Haman and Achashverosh in that, they both now colluded and were mutually happy over the destruction of the Jewish people. So here we are still in the beginning of the third parak. We're in the 10th pasuk. And so what the king does is he takes off his ring and he gives it to Haman. And that ring basically is what, you could write letters and with signatures of the king. And okay, so now it's going to become official. It's stamped. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Gedola Hasar Satabas Yoser Me'ar Ba'im Ushmona Nevi'im V'Shev Nevi'osh Nesnav Olam Le'Yisrael Shekul L'Achzim L'Muta V'Ilo Hasar Satabas Achzim L'Muta. As far as the removal of the ring is concerned, that was better, more beneficial than the 48 prophets and the 7 prophetesses that were historically there for the Jewish people. The purpose of all of them was to try to get the Jewish people to reform, to do better, right? That's the job of the Navi, to give Musar, and the people should listen to the Musar. And for the most part, it was not nearly as effective as just simply the king removing the ring now and signing off the annihilation of all the Jewish people. Now, on one hand, perfectly understandable, meaning that, right, when the Navi's giving you Musar, you really don't want to hear it, so you ignore it. But when the king takes off his ring saying, now all the Jewish people are going to be annihilated, so now it's easy to imagine, it's easy to understand. Okay, now this is it, it's life and death. Okay, so it's unfortunate, but that's just perfectly understandable how it is that's what got us to move. Continuing in the Gemara on Yedalad. Tan Rabbanan Arbaim Vishmana Neviim Vishavan Neviyas Nizavalam Leisrael, Lo Pisco Velo Sirum, Amashikasa Batara Chutz, Mimikra Megillah. So there are 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, and they didn't add nor detract from that which was written in the Torah, with notable exception to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah, in other words, the addition of a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, which the Gemara here, interestingly enough, says that blame it on the Nevi'im. In other words, assign credit to the Nevi'im for doing that, which in and of itself is interesting because Takana, generally speaking, is not done by a Navi, it's done by the Chazal, it's done by the Chachamim, by Beis Din. Okay, but anyway, but 48 Nevi'im, 7 Nevi'os. So as long as we mention that, so the Gemara's got a lot of follow-up to this particular statement, And really, a good part of today's daf now is going to go off tangents of that particular statement. So first of all, 48 Nevi'im. So who are the 48 Nevi'im? So the Gemara here doesn't go through it. Now, the seven Nevi'os that the Gemara is going to go through, and we're going to go through each one of the seven Nevi'os, and that'll occupy a good part of today's daf. So hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. Who are the 48 Nevi'im? So in a moment, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are a lot more than 48 Nevi'im. There are hundreds of Nevi'im, perhaps even thousands of Nevi'im. So why the number 48? So the Gemara later on is going to tell us. I'll just give it away right now. Basically, these are the Nevi'im that were meant not only receive Nevuah, but were intent on broadcasting that Nevuah, meaning they were given very special, specific instructions that you got to take that Nevuah and broadcast it to the masses. That's why we are capping the number over here at 48. Who are the 48? So Rashi over here goes through a list. Rashi, I'm not going to go through it inside, but you can see Rashi here, where Rashi goes through all 48 of the Nevi'im. Rashi gets to 46, and then he taps out, okay, which goes well beyond, it goes without saying that I wouldn't even come close. But Rashi gets to 46, he taps out, he said there are two more, and any Odea. Rashi, like he says traditionally when he's on when he doesn't know, so he says, I don't know. I don't know who the last two are. Anyway, see Rashi for a listing of most of the Nevi'im that the Gemara over here is making reference to. Anyway, we're going to go back to our Gemara. We're going to come back to the Nevi'im. We're going to come back to the Nevi'os. But my drosh. So he supplements the last two. Okay, very good. So my drosh. So on what drosha basis do we have that the Nevi'im instituted the mitzvah of Megillah? So I'm Rabbi Chaya Brav and I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha. Me avdos uma me avdos acheros. I'm in Shira. So misa lachaim l'kol shekain. So they're going to base themselves on what you and I call a kavachomer. Okay, so a kavachomer generates a halacha. So over here they use a kavachomer to generate a halacha. In other words, if from avdos acheros, so we're going to be saying shira, meaning shira alayam. In other words, presumably it's a reference to Az Yashir. So misa lachaim l'kol shekain. So for sure, if we're going to go from impending death to being saved from that, so for sure, so we have an obligation, we have an opportunity to say shira, which presumably is a reference to halam, which the Gemara now then asks the next question, yihachi halam nami neima. So then if that's true, meaning if you're using the kavacham and the kavacham is coming from Pesach, so then we should be saying halam, meaning we said halal, we say halam Pesach, so we should say halal here as well. Now, as far as the kavacham is concerned, so it is a little bit challenging, more than a little bit. It's a little bit challenging because the Gemara tells us that vis-a-vis Pesach, you know, we only went from Avdus to Cheres. Only went from Avdus to Cheres, meaning the Egyptian army was right behind us. They were looking to, hard to imagine, take us back to Egypt. In other words, they were looking to kill us. It was more than just Avdus to Cheres. It also was from Isa to Chaim. So it's a little bit challenging to understand why the Gemara calls that only from Avdus to Cheres. It was much more than that. Okay, so I'm acknowledging that the Kal Vachomer still is challenging to understand, but still, so right now we're at the point in the Gemara where, look, if by Pesach we're going to be saying Halo, so by Purim Lo Kol Shekein, we for sure should be saying Halo. So the Gemara says, if for sure we should be saying Halo, so no? So of course we should be saying Halo. So Yahachi, that's the Gemara's next question. Yahachi Halo Naminema. So let's say Halo. So Lefi Shein Omrim Halo Al Neis Bechutzar. So the Gemara here is going to be giving numerous answers in terms of why we don't say halal on Purim. Number one, so it's an ace, but it's an ace that happens in Chutz Aris. So the Gemara says, "Easiest Mishayim, Degam." I'm sorry, the ace should be Chutz Aris. So hey, Chamir Nachira. So the Gemara says, "Well, what about Mitzrayim? Meaning, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we're saying halal, and meanwhile, that was Chutz Aris. So the Gemara says, "Kidetanya." No, the Gemara says, "No." As far as that's concerned, I have answers because Ashal Nichnasu Yisrael Aritzuchshuru Kol Arasul Somar Shira. However, Nichnasu Misha Nichnasu Yisrael Aritzuchshuru Kol Arasul Somar Shira. So it's a distinction is to be made. Between before going into Eretz Yisrael and after going into Eretz Yisrael. Before going into Eretz Yisrael, so we had the opportunity to say Shira for any miracle that occurs worldwide. Now, how to explain that even better? So I wish I had a good way to explain it better, but for whatever reason, prior to Bnei Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael, so there was a nes what could be recognized anywhere and everywhere. However, once we go into Eretz Yisrael, so the nesim that are going to be recognized formally with halo, or only the nisim that occur in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And that now goes on to explain that, look, as far as the nace of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we haven't gotten into Eretz Yisrael yet. So therefore, every nace that occurs anywhere is eligible for halal. Ma she'ein kein, the nace Purim, so already at that point in time, we went to Eretz Yisrael, we were in Eretz Yisrael, so now the only time that we can have a recognized nace is only for those that occur in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, the nace of Purim occurs outside of Eretz Yisrael. Good. That's answer number one. Answer number two, there are three answers in total as to why we don't say halal on Purim. Answer number two, Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyasa Zu Halila. So Rav Nachman is of the position that we do say halal on Purim. It's just not the standard halal, but rather it's Kriyasa Megillah. Meaning Kriyasa Megillah is going to be the replacement of halal. Okay. Much discussion to be had over here. There's a Meiri, really interesting one. That says that that in the event that you don't have a Megillah on Purim, so you know what you should do? You should take out a sitter and say halal. In other words, assuming that the Rav Nachman answer is creating an equivalency between the halal and the Megillah. Okay, and much discussion to be had in terms of how to understand that. But as far as we're concerned right now, let's just suffice to say that for answer number two is that there is a form of halal that's being said on Purim, and that's, of course, the Megillah itself. Rava Amar, this is now going to be the third answer in terms of why we don't say a halal on Purim. Rava Amar, debishlama ha'osam halu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei paro. Look, in the nusach of halal, obviously halal prakam of Tehillim, in the nusach of halal, so what are we saying? We're saying halu avdei Hashem. We are now serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not paro. Elahacha halu avdei Hashem v'lo avdei chashverish. But meanwhile, when it came to Purim, so at the end of the story, so what happens? So the truth of the matter is, although we were saved, but when all is said and done, we are still the slaves of Achashverosh, meaning we're still subjects of Achashverosh. So it's not the same. It's not the kind of geula that warrants a halal. So Akati Avdei Achashverosh, and we're still avadim of Achashverosh. Okay, so we are right now operating with three different answers in terms of why we don't say halal on Purim, meaning it makes sense that we should be saying halal on Purim. We had a kal v'chomer that generated the requirement to say halal on Purim, but when all said and done, we don't. And for one of three possible reasons. Number one, because it's a nes in Chutz Aretz. Number two, because we're saying a version of halal, but it's called the Kriyas Megillah. And number three is that the Geula is not a full Geula. In other words, the only time you say halal is when you're Avdei Hashem, like Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if we're still subjects of Achashverosh, we're not going to say halal. Now, Bein L'Rava, Bein L'Rav Nachman, Kasha, V'Hatanya, So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rav Nachman is concerned, so what are you going to do with the Braisa? Meaning, the Braisa says really, really clearly that once they go into Eretz Yisrael, that's it. Meaning, we are now locked into halal that occurs only in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Braisa. So what are these Amorim going to do regarding a Braisa? So the Gemara says, well, Kevin Shigalu, Chazor Lechshir Narishan. So they're going to answer you that, look, we know the Braisa, but as far as the Braisa is concerned, we were then sent back into Galus, meaning that's exactly the point. Meaning when we go into Eretz Yisrael and we're settled in Eretz Yisrael, so the only type of nace that we acknowledge with halal is only that in Eretz Yisrael. But once we're exiled, and we were, meaning Chor B'Mes HaMikdash, and then we were sent to Shushan, so once we're exiled, so we're back to square one. Meaning now we're able to recognize the nace that occurs anywhere, even outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. Okay. Very much, this dialogue that we just saw very much sounds like the discussion we had just a couple days ago back on Daf Yud in terms of when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's the Kedusha also in this batal as well. Okay. So it sounds like it's a similar type of discussion. Vesulekam. Okay, so we are now going to go back. So that is how the Nevi'im were misakein Purim, Mikra Megillah, in principle, in theory, halal as well, but for three different reasons, we don't say halal. So that was what the Nevi'im added to the Torah, so to say, added to the Torah. With that stated, we're going to go now back to the statement that there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. So Vesu Leka, the Gemara says, now really, 48 Nevi'im? You mean to tell me that there were no additional Nevi'im other than 48? So I kind of gave this away already, but the Gemara here is going to spell this out. V'aksiv, the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Pasuk says, V'yish echa min aram asayim tzofim. So echa min asayim tzofim. So one of 200 prophets. Shenisnav Olam Yisrael. So so the Gemara says, yeah, Mihava Tuvahavo. Yeah, there were plenty of Nevi'im. Kidetanya Harbe Nevi'im Amdu Olam Yisrael. Kiflaim Kiyotzim Mitzrayim. Now here in Ebraisa, so we're talking about two times those that left Mitzrayim. So 600,000 times two, 1.2 million. Okay, so I said thousands of Nevi'im. Right now we have a tradition of over a million Nevi'im. Okay, Ella, Nevusha, Utsrucho Ladaros, Nechtava, Shlo, Utsrucho, Lo Nechtava. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the way to make sense of this is really easy. And that is that for those that are necessary for writing for Doros, for future generations, so those are the ones that are being counted as the 48. And for those that are Lo Utsrucho, in other words, they were able to receive Nevuah, but they were not given a mandate to go ahead and broadcast that information to others. Okay, so those are the ones that are between 48 and 1.2 million. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar Adam Haba Mishtei Ramos. Sorry, what happened? Oh, I skipped. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Adam Abba Mishtei Ramos, Shetzofa Zuazu. Sorry. The Gemara goes back to the Pasuk in Shmuel, in the beginning of Shmuel, Vayihi Ish Echad Min HaRamasayim Tzofim. Right? And from that Pasuk, we darshan that there were hundreds of Nevi'im, and then we just later discovered that more than hundreds, but in other words, that's the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. So what we're trying to do now is darshan Echad Min HaRamasayim. So right now, one drasha that we had is that there were hundreds of Nevi'im. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says on that pasuk, no, Adam Abba Mishtei Ramos, Shetzofa Zuazu. It just simply means that Shmuel comes from where there were two elevated areas that were able to see one another. So the Rabbi Chanin Amar, Adam Abba Mibnei Adam Shom Nimrum Shalom. So the and Rabbi Chanin gives a third interpretation. The father of Shmuel was Elkanah. And he was a person who descended from people who were Berumusha Olam, on the heights of the earth. Now, what is that a reference to? The Gemara goes on to explain. Man Ninu, B'nai Korach. So Elkanah was a descendant of B'nai Korach. Now, we know B'nai Korach Lameisu, right? It's a pasuk in Chumash. So despite the fact that Korach was swallowed up by the ground, so the B'nai Korach did not. Dechsev B'nai Korach Lameisu. Tanami Shom Rabbeinu, and the Gemara now quotes a Braisa. In the name of Rabbeinu, presumably Rabbeinu over here is a reference to either Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, maybe Rav, but anyway, Amakum Nisbatzel Lahem Begehenim. So despite the fact that Korach went down into the depths, he went to Gehenim, but there was a cleft in which the B'nai Korach were able to situate. V'amdu Alav. And they stood there and they were saved. Now, I'd love to give you more detail. As you can imagine, I personally am tapped out in terms of trying to explain this any better, but suffice to say that B'nai Korach were saved, and they were the Rumusha Olam, and that comes from the word Ramasayim. Okay, so the three possible interpretations of what it means when Elkanah is Minha Ramasayim. Okay, either he was amongst many other prophets, or they were just simply two elevated areas looking at one another, or the fact that he descended from the B'nai Korach, who were in a higher location. But he was saved on a cleft. Sheva Nevios Maninu. Okay, so we are on Yudal Amud Aleph. And we're about two-thirds of the way down. And so the Gemara now is going to delve into who are the seven prophets. But prophets meaning the females, the women. So who are the seven Nevios? So Sheva Nevios Maninu, so Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, and Esther. So first of all, a listing. You'll note the first observation is that of the Imahos, so only one of them made it. So Rivka didn't make it, and Rachel didn't make it, and Leah didn't make it. And that, needless to say, is interesting. One easily could have imagined that, of course, they were Nevios as well. Now, it happens to be that by Sarah, so we have a Pasuk, right? Kol Asher Tamar Sarah, Shema Bekola, and Rashi says that she has Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so Sarah making the list, but not Rivka, not Rachel, not Leah. Right, so it's really a note of interest. So I saw, a discussion to be had in terms of like the Nevi'im, where we said there were many others, we're just going over the ones that, you know, that needed to go on record. But there were many others. So you could give a similar approach over here, and that there were many other Nevi'os, but we're just going talking about the ones that, quote unquote, went on record. But that's it's a difficult answer, because what did Sarah do that had to go on record? Meaning, what was her Nevu'ah Ladoros? Okay. So as you can imagine, it gets a little bit choppy in terms of trying to figure out why only one of the Yamahs made it. But okay. Anyway, so the Gemara now is going to go over each one of them. And this is really going to take us to the end of today's daf. So as much as our Gemara is over here darshing the Megillah, but now we're going to get stuck now on a tangent, and this will conclude our daf today, even though we have a lot more to go through. But now you know basically what we're going to be doing for the remainder of today is that we're going to be going over psukim that describe each one of the Sheven Nevi'os. And by the way, just in terms of why Sarah as opposed to the others, so it happens to be, this is not an explanation, it's just an observation, it happens to be that we do have psukim that are going to support Sarah being a Nevi'ah. And there are no psukim by the other of the Imahos. But that's not an explanation, it's just an observation. So, Dichsiv, it says regarding Sarah, Avi Milkah, V'avi yiske. So the Gemara goes on to say, V'amar Rav Yitzchak Yiske Zu Sarah. Now Yiske is another name of Sarah. V'lamin nekra shma Yiske or Yiska. So why is she called by that name? So she sachsa Baruch HaKodesh. So she's able to see the word sachtaf and the word ra'ah. She's able to see Baruch HaKodesh, meaning she sees things. She's able to see things that you and I are not able to see. Shenemar kol asher tamar aleha Sarah shema b'kola. So the instructions that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram is, look, I know what she's telling you is uncomfortable, but nevertheless, whatever she tells you, you got to listen to her. She has Ruach HaKodesh. Davar Acher, the Gemara says, okay, but I'll give you another pshat as well, which is Yiska, Shakol Sochem Yofya. She's so beautiful that everyone is looking at her. Miriam. Vatikach Miriam HaNevi'ah. So as far as Miriam is concerned, so it's pretty straightforward, and that the Torah itself describes her as a Nevi'ah. Right? Achos Aharon. So now, when she is celebrating Shiras Yam and having her own Rikud for Shiras Yam, so it says that she is the sister of Aharon. The obvious question. V'lo Achos Moshe. So Amrav Nachman Amrav, Shaisa Mis Nav'a Kishi Achos Aharon. So the Gemara says that as far as her being a Nevi'ah is concerned, so her Nevi'ah goes way back. In other words, she was a Nevi'ah even before Moshe was born. Okay. Sha'isam is Navik Shihi Achos Aaron, Va'omer Sasida Imi, Shetela Ben Shioshiyas Yisrael. And she was saying that my mother is going to be giving birth to the Savior, to the Moshiach. Uvishash Nolan is Mali Kol Abayis Kula Ora. Now, when Moshe was born, the entire house was filled with light. That's a pretty good tell, by the way, that something special is happening over here. Amar Avia Unishaka Rosha. So Amram comes along and gives her a kiss on her head. So Amar Labiti Niskaima Nevuasech. And he says, good. That was a good job. You profited and prophesized and it worked. So Kevan Shi Shlichu Layor, however, when they were 3 months later forced to take Moshe and throw him into the Nile, Amnavia utpacha al rosha. So along comes the father and a smack on the head. V'amalabiti hecha nevoasech, and he says, "Nu, what happened to your nevoa now?" So hainu dichsev v'titasev v'achosom erachok le'da'a or le'deya. Pasuk goes on to say, "Maya salo," and she's standing there by the edge of the river to see what's going to happen. And the Gemara goes on to explain, "La'das ma yehe b'sof nevoasa," meaning she knows that her nevoa is good. And she knows that throwing Moshe into the Nile is not the end of Moshe, but just the opposite. In other words, it's just a continuation of him becoming the Moshiach. Okay, and she just wanted to know how it's going to happen. Okay, so far we've covered Psukim that describes 2 of the Nevi'os. We got 5 more to go. Devorah. Devorah Dechseva Devorah Isha Nevi'ah Eshes Lapidos. Okay, once again by Devorah, it's pretty much a no-brainer. The Pasuk says in Shoftim that she is a Nevi'ah. Right, she occupies 2 prakim in Shoftim, Dal and Hay. And so in the beginning, right in the beginning of Perek Dalid, so she's described as a Nevi'ah. So she is described as also Eshes Lapidos. Now, it could very well be that it's the name of her husband. However, right? As we've seen now numerous times here in our Masechta. So every name that's in Navi is also eligible for a drasha. So Haisa Osa Psilos Lemikdash. And so one of the things that she did is that she puts together the psilos, the wicks for the Beis HaMikdash, for the menorah, for the Beis HaMikdash. And so lapidos is incorporated, encoded in the word lapidos, is the psilos for the Beis HaMikdash. Vihir Shevas Tachas Tomer, she's under the tomer, the tree. So Maishna Tachas Tomer. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Avshalom Mishum Yichud. So why is she out in the, why is she outside? Meaning, why doesn't she have like office hours? Meaning, people are coming over, consulting with her. So why not just have an office? So the Gemara says, well, one answer is very simple. Because she's a woman, and it would be inappropriate and more than inappropriate to be also for a man to be secluded with her in a room. So as a result of that, so she was always outside. Dava Acher Matamar Ein Lo Ela Lev Echad Af Yisrael Shabosa Ador Lo Hayalahem Ela Lev Echad La Avim Shabashamayim. And just like a Tamar has Lev Echad, right? This idea we saw back in Masechta Sukkah when describing the lulav as one of the dalminim and the significance of the lulav. So here as well, just like a Tamar only has Lev Echad, so too, during the generation of Devorah, so she basically got everyone to focus and concentrate on Akash Baruch Hu. During the Tekufa of the Shoftim, so often is the time, meaning it's a recurring theme throughout Sefer Shoftim, is that the Jews ended up going to Avodah Zarah. Okay. Unfortunate, but that's the theme of Sefer Shoftim. And then we're attacked, and then we're saved, and thank you, Akash Baruch Hu, and then we eventually revert back to Avodah Zarah. But at least during the generation of Devorah, so she got everybody to focus on just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that is Devorah. Next, Chana. So Chana dechse vatispal Chana vatamar alasli bi Hashem rama karni ba Hashem. So over here, there is no pasuk that describes her as being a Neviah, but as we're going to point out through the Shiras Chana, so we're going to see that she had a number of nevuah. So first of all, she describes over here that she's so happy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is her shira that she's singing in gratitude to the fact that she in fact had a son. So Rama Karni Bashem, Rama Karni Velo Rama Pachi. So she's talking about her Karen, she's not talking about her Pach. And that is nevuah. David and Shlomo Shenim Shechu BeKaren. So as far as David and Shlomo, when they were anointed and inaugurated as the king, they were done through a Karen. Okay, it's a horn. Basically, the oil that's poured on them is done from something that is more enduring. So Nimshecha Machusan, and as a result of that, so their melucha is going to extend. However, Shaul and Yehu, shenimshichu bepach, but as far as Shaul and Yehu are concerned, so a jug was used to anoint them, and so because it was something that was less significant, lo nimshicha machusan. Okay, it's, right, the Gemara over here means causation, probably not likely. It just means it correlates between the two. But anyway, it's a nevuah that was said by Chana, and she was right. Ain kadosh kashem ki ain biltecha. So as long as we're going over Shiras Chana, so the Gemara just has another couple of quick more points to make. So there is nobody as holy as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Rav Yehuda bar Menashe al tikrei biltecha ela levalosecha. Meaning, no one's going to outlast you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kimidas basav adam, midas basav adam, maase adav mivalin oso. So that which we create is going to outlast that we are. In other words, it's going to wear us down, and it's going to outlast us. But meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mivala maase adav. But whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, he's going to outlast him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. We're finite. Okay. Ein sur kelokeinu, ein sayar kelokeinu. There is no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Adam tzartzura al gabe kosov ein yachol atel baruch unishama kravim v'nei ma'ayim. So we could draw, but we can't animate. I know nowadays we can animate, but it's not real. Whatever. The aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzar tzura b'soch tzura umato baruch neshama kravim kirbaim v'nei ma'ayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can not only draw, but he can animate as well. Meaning in the creations that he created, he can also give life into it as well. Okay, so he can animate. So other basic distinction between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, obviously these are pretty obvious points over here and what the Gemara is trying to tease out over here in this particular context. That also needs a lot more clarification. Meaning, right, these are points that we know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Kadosh Baruch Hu can give life, breathe life. And so what is the, why is Chana now, like, you know, providing us this insights when meanwhile they're you know, they're basic, so to say, regarding us versus the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Needs more clarification why exactly these points are being made over here. Anyway, we continue. So we are halfway through. Well, there's seven, so it's an odd number, but we're halfway through the list of the Nevios, and we continue now. We're up to Avigail. So, Dichsiv, so regarding Avigail, says, Vaya Yerucheves al Chamar Vioredes Beseser Hahar. So she's coming down. She's going to be meeting with David. So, once again, by Avigail, there is no pasuk that says Beferish that she's a Neviya, unlike Devorah. But nevertheless, so we're going to see, we're going to make a case that she's in fact a Neviya. So she meets with David HaMelech. So Beseser Ahar. So Min Ahar Mi Ba'ilei. Now it says Beseser Ahar, when meanwhile it should say Min Ahar. So Amar Abba Bar Shmuel Al Iske Dam Abba Al Min HaSasarim. So it's a reference to the Dam. Dam Nida. Not La Dam Ve'ara Salom. So she shows it to David HaMelech, and a question, simple question of Tamei or Tahor. Gemara on a couple of occasions describes David as being a posek and looking at Dam Nida. We saw that back in the Gemara in Brachos, if I remember correctly. So Amar Lo V'chimar and Dam Alayla. So David HaMelech says to Avigail, well, I appreciate that you're showing me Amara, and I'm supposed to be paskening, but you know, you're not allowed to pasken an Amara at night. You have to see it in sunlight, in daylight. So I can't help you. So Amr lo, v'chidan din nefashos balayla. So now you're trying to judge also Naval. Naval was her husband. And her husband possibly was a morid b'malchus. And David HaMelech wanted to kill Naval. And she says, look, you can't judge it at night. So Amr lo, so his response back to Avigail was morid b'malchus hu, v'lo tzarech l'medayne. So interesting back and forth. David HaMelech says, look, we're talking about morid b'malchus over here. This is not a regular judicial matter. In other words, if it was a regular protocol of Sanhedrin, you're right, absolutely right. In other words, it has to be judged during the day. It's one of the basic rules regarding din and nefashos, and for that matter, any din. There is a discussion to be had that if you start during the day, can be completed at night. We saw that back in Rosh Hashanah, not so long ago. But anyway, but the point is that the judgment has to be done during the day. What Dov's counter argument is now as we're on the top of the Amud Beis, is that, look, this is not regular judicial matter. This is Moreid B'Malchus. So this leaves the judicial branch, and this now goes to the executive branch. And so now that we're in the executive branch, I don't have to follow the protocols of the judicial system, and I could be judging at night as well. Amra lo, adayin shal kain v'lo yatsa tiv'ach ba'olam. So she says back as a counter argument, well, look, right now you're not perfectly accepted as the king. So in other words, if this was a regular case of Morid B'Malchus, so then Enechinam is, then you'd be right. In other words, so this is strictly an executive branch issue, and you'd be perfectly within your right to go ahead and to kill him based on the fact that you're Morid B'Malchus, but not everybody knows you're the king, because we're still in the transitional period between you and Shaul HaMelech. So Amar La, Baruch Tamech V'Rucha At Asher, Kilsini Ayom Azeh Mibo B'damim. And so his response to her is, well, Baruch Hashem, meaning your arguments were really excellent, and I accept what you're saying. So that was the back and forth between Avigail and David HaMelech. Have we proven yet that she's a Neviya? Coming up. So Damim. So now he says, Damim Tarti Mashma. Ela Malami Shigilta Eshuka V'Halach La'ora Shalosh Parsaos. So now the Gemara also points out that in the course of discussion, so a part of her body was revealed to him, and he had a Yetzer Hara for her, and he ran after her, the Shalosh Parsaos. In other words, he ran a long ways after her. Amar la Shmieli, and he says to her, "So I'd like you to I'm petitioning." In other words, he's interested in being with her. So Amar lo, so she says back to him, "Losia zos lecha lefuka." And she says back to him, no, this shouldn't be a stumbling block for you. I'm right currently right now a married woman, and this would be obviously a huge setback. So she says no. And she convinces him. Now, if we're going to listen carefully to what she says, which is what the Gemara wants us to do right now, lo siya zos lecha lefuka. So this shouldn't be a stumbling block. And she was making a reference and allusion to a future stumbling block. Now, Nevi'a. In other words, that's where we get to see it. So zos mach mechlal di'ika achrita, my niu. So ma'isa de basheva, umas uchamaskana achi havai. And as she predicts, so it in fact comes true, and it's not a prediction, it's a nevuah. And so she has the ability to be misnave. She knows what's going to be happening in the future, and she is intimating this information over to David HaMelech. Okay, so v'haisa, okay, we're not done yet, meaning although we have now proven that she is a nevuah, but the Gemara now is just going to go over one more back and forth. V'haisa nefesh adonit tzrura b'tzrura chayim. So, and she basically says to David HaMelech that you should be bound in the bounds of life, meaning that you should not fall and stumble over an avera. Ki have a mifter amine. Now, as they're leaving one another, Amrale, she says to him, Veitiv Hashem ladini v'zacharta es amasecha. So you should remember your maidservant. In other words, here's my number. Okay, right. So, right. In other words, okay. Look, in other words, we're saying goodbye, but it's not going to be the end. So, Amr Rav Nachman Hein D'Amr Enshi. So, Rav Nachman says, we have an expression for this, and so now we're going to be learning an old Babylonian expression that describes this. Isasa. So, Behadishusa Pilcham. So, while she's talking, she's also going to be weaving as well. Okay. In other words, she says one thing, but at the same time, however, she could be planning other things as well. Igadami, another old-fashioned expression, really old-fashioned. So, old-fashioned expression, shpil v'azil bar ivza, eino mitapai. That when the geese is walking, so you see that the head of the goose is down, but meanwhile, they're looking well ahead of where they are right now. Okay, and so Avigal is now planning for the future. In other words, she knows that eventually Neva will die. She knows eventually that she and David are going to be together. Okay, so even though right now, not an opportune time. She's currently married, but in other words, plans for her future when she, in fact, will become available. Okay, Chulda. We're almost done. So we're going over the Sheva Nevi'ah. So now we're up to Chulda. So she was a Nevi'ah Dichsiv. So the Pasuk says, there was a Sefer Torah that was found. Chilkiyahu the Kohen found the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'yileh Chilkiyahu Kohen ve'achikam ve'achbor. And one of the other people that came along was Chulda HaNevi'ah. In fact, the Pasuk says that she is, in fact, a Nevi'ah. So here, again, the work is pretty much done for us because the Navi already describes her as a Nevi'ah. So we really don't have much proving to do. So, Uvamakam Dekai Yirmiyah. Hechem is Nabi'ihi. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. She's living in the same generation as Yirmiyah. And so shouldn't she be deferent to Yirmiyah? And shouldn't she not broadcast her nevuah in deference to Yirmiyahu? So Hechem is Navi'i. So how could she now broadcast her nevuah? And so there are certain protocols of nevuah. And as you can imagine, I'm extraordinarily limited in my understanding of the protocols. We haven't had nevuah in some time now, but there's a certain pecking order. And Yirmiyahu was chief Navi. And so so people have to, subdue. They have to not broadcast their nevuah when you have somebody that you have to show deference to.
But if it's given to her, then she has.
Again, you and I, we're guessing. Meaning, I don't know the rules of engagement. And okay, so the Gemara is obviously assuming that there are certain protocols, and she doesn't seem to be following. She seems to be breaking protocol. So the Gemara says, okay. So to which the Gemara's answer. So Amri Beirav Mishmei Derav. So the Gemara says, okay, but in the Beis Medrash. They answer the following. The Beis Medrash of Rav, they answer the following. And that is Chulda, Krovis, Yirmiyahu, Aisa, and Lohave, Makbet, Allah. So first of all, they're related. So Chulda and Yirmiyahu are related. And so when it comes to relatives, so these things don't bother you. In other words, what the Gemara seems to be answering is that this is all a function of Kavod. And so, in other words, when you're Makbet, so it's an issue. But if you're not Makbet, it's not an issue. They're family members. He wasn't Makbet. Okay. Yoshiyahu Gufa, Hecha, Shavik, Yirmiyahu, Umishad, Lagaba. So the Gemara says, okay, but the king at the time was Yoshiyahu, meaning that when the Sefer Torah was found, so Yoshiyahu called on her. So why did Yoshiyahu call on her? Meaning, the first question we asked is that why is she broadcasting a nevuah when there's Yirmiyahu? So the answer was, they're family members. But okay, but that doesn't help in terms of Yoshiyahu. So who is he calling into the palace in order to be misnabi? He's calling in Chulda. Why? So Hechishavik Yirmiyahu, Mishad Gabam. So Amre Debe Rabbi Shila, Mimnesha Anashim Rachmani Yosein. So the Gemara gives one of two answers. The first answer of the Gemara is that women are Rachmanios, meaning that the nevuah that's going to be offered by Chulda is just simply going to be a softer nevuah. And so what we see clearly over here, there are a number of Gemaras that speak to this idea. Our Gemara speaks very strongly to the idea that nevuah is filtered through the person. So in other words, there is a nevuah, but at the same time, because it goes through a particular person, it's filtered through that particular person. And so the nevuah will be influenced by the personality in which the nevuah goes through. So if it goes through a woman who is a Baal Rachamim, who is just simply more compassionate, so now the nevuah is going to come out more compassionate. It's really clear that that's the idea over here. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan gives a different answer. Why it is that Chulda was called into the palace and not Yirmiyahu? And that is, according to Rav Yochanan, Yirmiyahu was preoccupied. So Yirmiyahu lo have hasam shalach la'achzir aser sashvatim. In fact, what he was going to do is that what he did, or what he currently was doing, is he was getting back the Asar Shvatim. Now, we normally assume that what happened was is that Sancheriv comes in from the north, conquers the Asar Shvatim, and disperses them. We also assume we don't know where they are. In other words, hence the 10 lost tribes. Right? That's what we assume. Meanwhile, our Gemara today, in today's Daf Megillah, Daf Yudal Amud Beis, so it really throws us a bit of a curveball in that the Gemara over here says that Yirmiyahu brought back the 10 Shvatim. Now, even as we are seeing our Gemara today, even our Gemara, which definitely is a curveball to what we conventionally think, but our Gemara also at the same time is going to point out that even according to this particular version, it's not that they were here forever. Okay, but anyway, let's see it inside. So, halach la'achzir aseres ha'shvatim. So, uminalan de'ahador. Now, how do we know that they came back? Dichsiv. So we're going to be looking at a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Ki amocher el hamimkar lo yashuv. You know, the people are going to be sold and they're not going to return. Sorry. Land is going to be sold and it's not going to go back to its original owner. Meaning to say, the laws of Yovel are going to become batel. They're going to be nullified. Which means, efshar Yovel batel, and navi misnavi alav sheyivatel. Now, the Gemara says all this seems really off because, look, in order for Yovel to apply, we need all 12 of the Shvatim to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if Sancheirav did, in fact, permanently eradicate the Asar Shvatim, so that means now that since Sancheirav, which was 100 years, more than 100 years prior to the Chorban Bayis Rishon, so already we didn't have Yovel. And so Yecheskel the Navi, who's coming at a later point in time, so he's now prophesizing that we're going to lose Yovel. What do you mean we're going to lose Yovel? They lost it already. Ah, so what the Gemara now is trying to put back together again is that, no, not exactly. Meaning, it's true that the Asar Shvatim were lost, but then Yirmiyahu recovered them, and then they're going to be lost again. That's how, right now, the Gemara is constructing this argument.
Does that include the Shemitah?
Yovel's got, in terms of the prerequisites of Yovel, you need all 12 Shvatim. Is that also true by Shemitah as well? Presumably not. Okay, again, long discussion in terms of, you know, how long Shemitah, you know, continued, perpetuated min ha-Torah. But right now, the Gemara is just focusing on Yovel. So after Yovel batel, and navi misnavi is elav she'ivatel, elam alame, so the Yirmiyahu hechziran. So it must be that Yirmiyahu brought him back. So that's right now the argument that the Gemara is constructing. And all this is answering the question, why did Yoshiyahu HaMelech call in Chulda into the office in order for her to prophesize? Why didn't he call Yirmiyahu? And so the answer is Yirmiyahu was right now currently preoccupied. Yoshiyahu ben Amon. So the Malach Aleihem. Now, when Yirmiyahu actually brought back the Asar HaShvatim, so who ruled over them? It's a funny question, meaning... right? Oh. Right? But the Gemara says, I'll tell you, ruled over them, Yoshiyahu. How do I know that? Dichsiv. So this is now a description in Malachim Beis of Yoshiyahu getting rid of all the Avodah Zarah. Vayomer Maas Yon Alaz Asher Ani Roeh. Vayomer Lev Anshei Ha'ir. Ha'akever Ish Alokim Asher Bam Yehuda V'Yikras Adverim Ma'ila Asher Asisi Al Mizbech Beveisel. So V'chi Ma'ativo Shel Yoshio Al Mizbech Beveisel. What in the world does Yoshio have anything to do with the Mizbech up in Beisel? Beisel was the center of worship in the northern tribes, amongst the northern tribes. Yoshio was the Melch Yehuda. What does one have to do with the other? Ella Malamed, Sheshio Malach Aleihem. So that is the encoding, meaning that's the remez in the Navi, that at one point in time, Yoshio was the king of not just Yehuda and Yamin, but also of the Asar Shvatim as well. Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha, Gam Yehuda, Shas Kitzir Lecha, Bishovi Shvusami. So if you want another remez, you'll go to a pasuk in Hosea. Tucked away in Hosea is an allusion to the fact that Yoshio was in fact the king, not just of Yehuda Binyamin, but over those who returned. What do you mean, those who returned? Okay, a remez to the Asara Shvatim. Okay, now I can say we're really almost done. So we are going over the seven Nevi'os. So the Gemara has, right, really carefully, gone over the sources of each one of the Nevi'os, and how do we know that they were in fact a Nevi'ah? And we're almost done. We're up to now Esther. So Esther was a Nevi'ah, Dichsiv. So once again, in the Megillah itself, does it ever say Esther is a Nevi'ah? No. Right? So by Devar, by Chulda, so it said the word Nevi'ah, but not by Sarah, and whatever. And so now we have to prove, we have to make a case that Esther is a Nevi'ah. So how do I know that? Esther Dichsiv, Vahi B'yom HaShishi. Vatilbash Esther Machus. So in the beginning of the fifth parak, it says that she's wearing. Now, what is she wearing? It says she's wearing Machus. Now, what does that mean? She's wearing Machus. Big day Machus mebaile. If it's the clothing that we're describing over here, so it should say Big day Machus. It doesn't. So Elo Shalafta Ruach HaKodesh. So Machus over here is a reference to Ruach HaKodesh. So Dichsiv Hacha Vatilbash Dichsiv Hasam Vayruach Lavsha Es Amasai. Okay, and so we have another pasuk in Devarim Yamim that speaks to this idea that the Levisha, when it's not describing clothing, it's actually a description of Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. Now, as far as women and being prophets are concerned, Amar Rav Nachman, Lo Ya Yarasi Lenashe, giving a position of prominence to women, so Rav Nachman says it's not appropriate. Okay. I think about Rav Nachman and his relationship with his wife Yalta. And you're right. And right. Good. You're reading my mind. You're doing a good job. So anyway, so women should not have positions of prominence. He married a very prominent woman, right? His wife was the daughter of the Reish Galusa. And so, okay. Anyway, I'm not going to finish my thought, but fine. So, Tartin Neshe Yaharan Havian. So two women were given prominence. Visanya Shmayu. And their names, in other words, they don't have pleasant names. So Chadash Mazdi Borta. So one is basically a bee. In other words, he's describing Devorah. So her name is basically a small little insect. And V'Chadash Ma Karkushta. And as far as Chulda is concerned, so her name basically is a rat, a weasel. So the Ziborta Ksiv Ba V'Tishlach V'Tikra Levarak. And now, Rav Nachman is finishing up his assertion that what happens when you give women prominence is that they misuse it. Okay. It happens to be that, you know, we can also cite occasions where men also misuse their positions of prominence. Okay. But anyway, I'm interrupting. So so Ksiv Vav Tishlach V'Tikra LeVarak. So she calls out to Varak, V'ilu Ilo Azla Gabe. Meaning she basically says, Barak, you come here and she's not heading to Barak. That's number one. Number two, that was one. And Karkushan, as far as Chulta is concerned, so Ksiv Ba Imru Leish, Velo Amru Imru Lamelech. So she says, okay, tell the man. And meanwhile, she was talking about the king. She was talking about Yoshio. And she calls him Isha as opposed to calling him Melech. And so what happened was is that the position, the power, got to their heads a little bit. Okay, and that is Rav Nachman's criticism about giving women positions of prominence. Okay, a good place to stop. Okay, let's recap. In other words, we were in the middle of darshaning the third parak, and the Gemara got a little bit sidetracked, but that's what happens. So over the course of today's daf, so we were in the beginning of the third parak of the Megillah. Haman is ready to pay Achashverosh for the annihilation, the extermination of all the Jewish people. Achashverosh says, you know what? Keep the money. And so the Gemara started off our daf today with a mashal of the person who has a mound of earth and the person who has a hole that needs to fill it in. And that's the relationship between Achashverosh and Haman. And I'm so happy I said it correctly. So the Gemara says is that the king took off his ring, and the removal of the ring, says the Gemara, was more significant and more impact than all the Nevuah of the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os. And once the Gemara said that, nothing was added to the Torah, with notable exception to Mikra Megillah. And why was Mikra Megillah added? And the Gemara said over here it was added by the Nevi'im. So why was it added? Kal v'chomer, if going from Avda Secheres is going to demand Shira, so going from Misa to Chaim for sure is going to demand Shira. That's the Kal v'chomer of the Gemara over here. Okay? And the Gemara says, if that's true, then why don't we say Halal on Purim? So in terms of one of the highlights of today's daf, so the Gemara's question in terms of why don't we say Halal on Purim? The Gemara gives three answers to that question. And Shiurim, many Shiurim are predicated on this Q&A of why don't we say Halal on the three answers that are given, the differences between the three answers. Okay, anyway, but we're just reviewing right now. So that is highlight number one on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. And then for the balance and the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to go over the Nevi'im. First of all, there were much more than 48 Nevi'im, hundreds of Nevi'im, and now we can say thousands of Nevi'im. The Gemara has it in one of the lines in today's daf, over a million Nevi'im. The Gemara says it's true. But 48 because they were meant to broadcast. The other Nevi'im, so they have the powers of Nevuah, but they weren't meant to broadcast. Okay, it's good. Does the Gemara enumerate the 48 Nevi'im? No. Rashi in today's daf, together with other Rishonim as well, so make attempts to enumerate all the Nevi'im. Rashi gets to 46. He doesn't know who the last two are. Right? As pointed out, the Gaon fills in what he believes is the last two. Good. So that's the Nevi'im. Who are the Nevi'os? So here the Gemara is meticulous, where the Gemara goes over the seven Nevi'os and sourcing throughout Tanakh in terms of how do we know that they're Nevi'os. Right? An interesting observation we made earlier in terms of the Imahos, only Sarah made it to the list. Rivka, Rachel, and Leah did not make it into the list. In of itself, that's already interesting. And then in terms of the seven Nevi'os, so that really took up the rest of today's daf. In fact, tomorrow, even as we continue, we're still going to talk a little bit about the Nevi'os. But anyway, so the Gemara goes through the sourcing of how we know that all seven of them are in fact Nevi'os. And the Gemara cites Psukim in Tanakh that get us to that point in time. And then we ended off today with Rav Nachman, who was slightly critical over the fact that if you give women this kind of authority, so sometimes a little bit goes to their head.